Or today is going to be a very encouraging message. We're going to be talking about bringing America back to God. Now, we're going to have to talk about some negative things to get to the positive. But I promise you, this is going to be a very encouraging message for you, because I think we would all admit that America truly is in a mess today. We have the anti-family movement. And I don't understand that. Even for people that are not Christians, why would you tear down the very basic fundamental building block of this nation? The family, other than, of course, you've got the spiritual foundation of God, but I'm talking about even just below that, you've got the family that is the very foundation. If you destroy that, you're going to destroy this nation, and you're not going to have what you have. So it doesn't make sense to me, but there is an anti-family movement. There is also a same-sex marriage issue. And, of course, I know you probably saw this week that New York has opened up the doors for same-sex marriages, and they're inviting people from all over the nation to come to New York and get married. You don't even have to live there. We have the terrorist aggression against our nation. And, of course, that's why we've been in Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and all those places fighting against that. We have the humanistic teaching in our public schools. And let me say this. And I could preach an entire message on this, but I want to just say this and then move on. Parents, you need to know what your kids are learning in school, because they are learning humanistic teaching. Once they get out of high school, you need to do everything you possibly can to send them to a Christian college. Why would you send them to a public college if you didn't have to? Public colleges are social institutions teaching socialism, which is completely and totally anti-Christian. So again, we need to really take a look at that, because the humanistic teaching in our school, public school, is bad, and the college, it's horrendous. It's horrible. We also have the liberal politicians who have no sense of moral value. They're doing their best to tear down everything of any moral value in our society. The Bible and the prayer are being attacked. Everything that's Christian is being attacked. The Ten Commandments, the In God We Trust. Even people that are attacking the flag as to whether that's constitutional. Folks, our country's in a mess. You don't have to look very far to see that it's in a mess. It's in a horrible mess. And if we concentrated and if we focused on it, we could get really depressed. But I don't want you getting depressed today. I want you to get angry. We need to get angry at what's going on, and we need to turn our anger into a positive force of change. We need to get angry. We have been kind of lulled to sleep again. We're just kind of so used to all of this going on that we're just going with the flow. Well, as I'm going to show you today, we need to stand up and we need to fight. But it's not the fight like you think it is. An issue that is this serious should cause an intellectual and emotional response. If you really love America, and if I really love America, folks, this ought to be something that literally makes us angry. What's happening to our nation today, it is truly being destroyed right before our eyes. We do have a mess on our hands, but today we're going to be looking at how to turn the mess around. The good news is there is a way of getting America back to God. So instead of focusing so much on the negative, like I said, we had to set the stage of the negative, but instead of focusing on the negative, we need to focus on what it's going to take to get America back to God. And to do that, we must look at this issue truthfully, and we must be willing to accept our part of the blame. Every single person in this building is partly to blame for the mess America is in. You may say, well, I don't support homosexual marriages. I don't support the anti-family. I don't support the humanistic teaching. Well, you're going to see in a moment, we may not have supported it, but we've allowed it to happen. And we're also going to have to take a serious look at what we can do to fix the problem. Now, let me break that down for you. When I say what we can do, that a lot of times says, whoo, the responsibility's off of me. He's talking about what the church can do. I'm talking about what you can do. I'm talking about what I can do. I'm talking about what each and every single one of us can do to bring America back to God. It starts in our families. Actually, it starts even more than that. It starts in our personal lives. Then it goes to our family, then to our church, then to our community, then to our state, and then to our nation. So we have to accept personal responsibility for being in this mess, and we have to accept personal responsibility for getting us out of this mess. It's going to take each and every one of us working on it. And folks, if things keep going the way they are, it may not be long before we can't worship openly and freely anymore. There's a lot at stake here. And of course, once they take your religious freedoms away from you, they're going to take everything else they can get away from you as well. And there is a concerted effort, an organized effort going on to take all of that away from us. Nothing is happening by accident. There are groups of people out there with a very strategic plan to try to tear this nation down. The things that are happening aren't just happening. But again, we can definitely overcome it if we want to. Now, let me give you the key point to this whole message. Everything that we see happening is a spiritual battle. Everything that we see happening. It is not the gays versus the monogamous. It is not the terrorist versus America. It is not the liberals versus the conservatives. It is a spiritual battle. It has been ever since the Garden of Eden, and it will be all the way up to the Battle of Armageddon. But that's good news. Since it's a spiritual battle, we can win. We can win it since it's a spiritual battle. If it was not a spiritual battle, we might not be able to win it. But since it is, we can win it. You guys don't look too convinced of that. I promise you, if you read God's Word, we can win this thing. If it was a physical battle, you might say, well, the gays are taking over. I don't care. They're not bigger than my God. Are they bigger than yours? The liberals, well, they're just running things. They're destroying things. I don't care. I care that they're doing it, but I don't care how powerful they are. Let me put it that way, because they're not more powerful than my God. If we fight this spiritual battle the way we need to, folks, we can win. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 makes it very plain. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have some mighty enemies, but they're not nearly as mighty as our God. We don't need to be like the nation of Israel when they went into the land of promise with the spies. We don't need to come back and say, there's giants over there. We're just grasshoppers. There's no way we can do it. We need to come back like Caleb and his buddy. Whoever his buddy was. Joshua. No, Joshua was the leader. It was Caleb and Joshua. Okay. And you guys thought I was perfect. Oh, well. That wasn't that funny. But anyway, Caleb and Joshua came back. They saw the same mess that everybody else saw. And what did they say? We are well able to take this land. How did they know they were well able? Because God had already said, I have given it to you. Folks, America is the first nation that was ever based upon godly principles. This is God's land. It's not anybody else's. God has given it to us, and we can take it back and bring it back to Him if we want to, and if we're willing to do what it's going to take. So the question is, what do we need to do to get this country back to God? Now, let me get the the political side out of the way real quick. Yes, you do need to sign the petitions that you need to sign. And yes, you do need to be calling your senators and your representatives, and you need to be doing that frequently. I do that all the time. You can send them stuff through the internet, through email, through faxes. You can call them. You need to be doing that on a constant, consistent basis. But again, this is a spiritual battle, and we have to fight it on the spiritual war front. We have to use our spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. Goes right along with what we read over in Ephesians earlier. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We already know that. We just read it, that we are warring against spiritual wickedness in high places. We already know that. But I like verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Or we could even say it this way. The weapons of our warfare are not weak, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty. Our weapons are mighty, folks. And what are they mighty to do? They're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What do we have right now? Satan has a stronghold on America. But what can the weapons of God do? The weapons that we have access to. It can pull down strongholds. God has given us everything it takes to win this battle. And let me go a step further. We can win this battle without one drop of blood being shed. Since this is a spiritual battle, if we'll do it right, we can win it without bloodshed. But to win this battle, we have to take responsibility, like I said. We have to admit that we as individuals, and that we as the church, and that we as American Christians have not done our part to keep America close to God. I failed. We as a church have failed. We as individual Christians have failed, or it would not be in this mess. There's things going on in the Bible Belt today that should never be going on. Again, you can't even hardly mention God in school or prayer in school or take the Bible to school without somebody getting on you legally. That should not be. So we have to admit our responsibility. We stood by and we let them take prayer out of school. We stood by and let them take the teaching of biblical principles out of school. And I'll throw in a positive note, there's some of that already coming back. I don't know how much you know about it, but some of the schools are putting the Bible back in as literature, and the teachers are allowed to teach it. I praise the Lord for that. But folks, stop and think about it. We've always had problems. But when we took God out of our schools, the problems multiplied overnight. When we get God put back in our lives and back in the schools and back in the students, that will resolve a lot of the problems that we have right there. We've not even done a good job of keeping our own family strong and our own families founded on Christian principles. Dads, we failed. We've not done a good job there. We have to have strong Christian children to keep this war going on, to keep this battle going on. And we need to teach our children Christian principles right there in the home. Yes, they can get some of that teaching at church, but they need to learn it at home. The good news about this whole thing is that the Bible gives us a very clear, concise answer on how to bring America back to God. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures here that is so familiar. Please don't cut me out on this. Don't shut me out. This is the answer. God tells us exactly how to do it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to start in verse 14, but I'm going to read several scriptures here, and I'm going to stop along the way and point some things out as we go. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The very first three words are the whole key. If my people, doesn't have anything to do with the government, does it? Doesn't have anything to do with the Congress or the senators or the president. Doesn't have anything to do with the liberals. If my people, God's people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and if they will pray, and if they will seek my face, and if they will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. It's not going to happen until we do it. It's not going to happen until we, the church, do what God said. His people have to humble themselves, and we have to pray, and we have to seek his face, and we have to turn from our wicked ways. And yes, folks, we've got a lot of wicked ways in our lives. God says, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land. It's very conditional. God cannot do it if we don't do our part. Verse 15, he says, now my eyes shall be opened, and my ears attend unto the prayers that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. God wants his name here in America forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Now listen to 17. And as for thee, talking about you, talking about me, if you will walk before me, as David thy father walked, and we can say, even say as the forefathers of America walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Look at verse 19 carefully. But if you turn away, and if you forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto the land and unto the house? Verse 22, and it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers. Folks, it's up to us. God makes it very clear that the solution starts with his people. The solution starts with every single one of us. It's got to start somewhere. Why not at Center Point? It literally could start at Center Point. Many of the revolutions that took place, in fact, all of the revolutions that took place in America, have started somewhere. It can start here. If we will do what God said. And here's the deal. We can fix the mess that we are in anytime we want to. Anytime? Anytime we want to, we can fix the mess we're in. Well, how do you know we can do it anytime? Because God in 2 Chronicles here did not put any time stipulation on it. He just said, if my people will do this, then I will hear from heaven. If they'll walk before me as their fathers walk, then will I establish the throne. It's all to us. Anytime we get good and ready, we can fix the mess we're in. It does start completely and totally with God's people. In any war, I'm going to use World War II because a lot of us know that history. But in any war, America, before it goes to war, has to do what? Declare war. Remember, well, you probably don't remember, but you've read the history about when Pearl Harbor was attacked. Some of you probably remember that. Congress got together, that day and declared war. Folks, we as God's people, we have to declare war on Satan and the evil that is attacking our nation. If we don't declare war on it, it's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And we cannot blame the government. We can't say, well, it's those idiotic Republicans or those stupid Democrats or the liberals. We can't say, we can't point a finger at any of them. It's God's people that can bring America back. We have to humble ourselves, and we have to admit that we have messed up and that we need God to forgive us for letting America get in such a horrible mess. We need to get on our knees and ask God, God, forgive me for being so apathetic and so uncaring that I stood by while they took the Bible out of school. And while they took prayer out of school, and when they kicked you completely out of school, and out of our government, and out of our society, we need to beg God to forgive us. And then we need to pray like we've never prayed before. And over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you read that, Paul told Timothy, first of all, pray for your leaders. First of all, intercede for your leaders. Folks, how often do we pray for our leaders? You need to pray for everybody that's in leadership over you. You need to pray for your pastor. He needs it. He desperately needs it. We need to pray for our local government here in Valonia. They need it. We need to pray for our state leaders. We need to pray for our national leaders. We need to pray for them first and foremost. And we all know that desperate circumstances call for desperate measures. So we need to pray long, and we need to pray hard, and we need to pray fervently with passion for our leaders. From what I understand in the Bible, if we pray for our leaders, and we can get the leaders going the right direction, the nation will follow the leadership. And God can raise up some godly leaders. And I'll tell you this much. In this next election, there's already some people that says, yes, we're running, that are godly people. You need to search them out and find out who they are. And you need to support those people. We also individually need to seek God like we've never sought God before. He said, if you'll humble yourselves and seek my face. Seek his face. Act like God's trying to hide from you. He's not trying to hide from you, but act like he is. And seek, and diligently seek. The Bible says, if we will diligently seek him, he will reward us. We need to seek him like we've never sought him before, through intense, personal Bible study. And I put that word intense in there for a very different reason. We need to be very serious and very intense in our Bible study. And we need to seek God through prayer and through fasting and through meditating on the Word and through bringing ourselves to live a pure and holy life. Now, we need to turn from our wicked ways. Folks, you can read 2 Chronicles 7 very easy and see very easily that it is sin that's gotten us into the mess we're in. It is sin in the church that's gotten us where we are. We haven't humbled ourselves. We haven't prayed. We haven't sought God like we should. We haven't turned from our wicked ways the way we should. And God can't help us until we do. Sin got us in this mess. Righteousness will get us out. Righteousness on an individual level, on a church level, on a local level, on a state level, and on a national level. You say, Brother Greg, that can't happen. Yes, it can. I'm going to take God's word over it any day before I take your word over it. I'm going to take God's word over it before I take anybody else's word over it. And God said, not only can it happen, it will happen if my people will do what they need to do. Folks, if we don't do it, it won't get done. So it really all boils down to this. It's up to us. It's up to God's people. If we will live righteous lives, if we will pray, if we will humble ourselves, if we will turn from our wicked ways, and if we will seek God like we've never sought Him before, not only can God heal our land, but He said He will heal our land. And He said He would establish the throne. When God establishes something, folks, it's done. It's a done deal. So if we want God to establish the throne in America, talking about the throne would be the leadership, then it's up to us. I want to see godly people in our White House. I want to see godly people in our Congress and in our House of Representatives. It's up to me. And it's up to you. God's told us how. We can go out and pick it all day long. We can go out and sign all the petitions. We can call the congressmen and all that. But if we're not doing the things that we need to do spiritually, it'll never happen. But if we keep doing that and add the spiritual warfare to it, then we can bring this nation back to God. I know most of you, if necessary, would bear arms and take up arms to protect our nation if need be. We've already got several in this church that have done that. And I believe the vast majority of you would. But folks, why don't we pick up our spiritual weapons and fight with those? They are so much more powerful. There's examples in the Bible and examples through history where literally armies have fled in fear without the army that was godly ever having to fight at all. Gideon, 300 taking on thousands, and Gideon had, his army had what? Clay pots and torches. They blew the trumpets and busted those pots, and the army took off because they thought they were being attacked by literally hundreds of thousands of people. God can show us how to win this battle if we'll do exactly what He tells us to do. But we have to make a decision that we are going to become 2 Chronicles 7:14 people and a 2 Chronicles 7:14 church and a 2 Chronicles 7:14 community and state and nation. Let me share this with you. If nobody else does it, you do it. And I'm going to do it. And folks, I promise you, if we can get others to join us, it'd be even better. But if not, we're going to be doing what God has told us to, and God will be well pleased with what we're doing. And He will stand up for us, because it can be done. Let's stand and let's pray. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill if they would to come. Father, I thank You that in Your Word You have shown us exactly what we need to do to bring America back to You. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that it can be accomplished. And Father, it could probably be accomplished even a lot quicker than we ever dreamed that it could be if we would just do what You tell us to do. In fact, we ought to be doing that anyway, Father. We ought to be humbling ourselves before You and seeking Your face and praying and turning from our wicked ways, because we want to live in righteousness and godliness and in holiness and purity before You. So really, You're not asking any more of us than what You require of us in the first place. And Father, I realize that from our own eyes, it might look like we are grasshoppers trying to take on giants. But through our spiritual eyes, Father, I see You as the Almighty God, the one that is well able to bring America back to you and back to a strong Christian foundation, but you're going to do it through your people. So God, help us to be committed and determined to living godly, righteous, holy lives, and that we'll pray for our national leaders, state, local leaders, every single day, that they would seek your guidance and your wisdom, and then, Father, that they would have their hearts turned from their ungodly way to a very godly way. And Father, we know that your word says that you can do that, and we believe that you can and that you will. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.